All right. I know that kind of changes the pace a little bit of what we've experienced today, but I just want to take a few moments to kind of talk about that series coming up. We are not starting it this week. It's starting February 11th, and we have a break between series, but I just want to be a church where we talk about real things. And so I think in Valentine's Day, a lot of people talk about love, but if I was honest, a lot of more people are depressed during Valentine's Day. Most people are depressed at that time of year, but so I'm really excited about it. So as a church, what we can be doing is we can be praying. No, okay, three of us can be praying. Why do we come to church in the first place? We can come to pray. We can pray for those people, or maybe if you're going through it, and we can invite people who are going through depression. Our heart is not to shame anyone going through it, but maybe shed light on their situation, and I just believe that God is going to bring breakthrough in a lot of people's lives during that series, so we're just believing those things as that comes, so please be doing that. But right now, we are in the middle of a series. My name is Sean Jensen. I'm the lead pastor. Me and my wife, she switched sides on me now, but she's over here. I'm going to have to get used to that. Me her lead together, and we're super honored and grateful to be a part of your guys' life every single week. And I don't just say that lightly. Seeing the volunteer teams for Night to Shine this week, you guys are like, you literally are killing it. Like, you guys are doing amazing things, and people are finding out. People are coming to me like, hey, what about this? I'm like, don't find me. They're the ones doing it. And I'm never going to apologize for delegating things to our church, because God's word says a pastor should equip their people for their works of ministry. So I'm never going to apologize to see you guys actually become all that you were called to be. And it's amazing seeing it. Our church is better because of people like you. So thank you guys so much. Let's give it for everybody like that. Now we're gonna jump in. Again, we do things in series, and you're like, Sean, why do you have a chair? I will not sit in it very long, but it's gonna go for my message. I can't sit very still. We have some people going for wagers right now. They're like, how long is he gonna sit there? Not very long. But there's a reason why I want to sit here, because we're in between series right now. We just got done with Walking Blind, and we're going into another one. And there's times that we like leave in our calendar this open space to share what God wants to share in our heart. And I just felt this week I don't want to like really sweat and yell and get crazy, although I'll probably do that still. That's not my goal. My goal is to give God's word every week. But I just honestly believe that the best thing we can do for our church and people coming to our church, because we have people who don't believe or just new to believing, and people who've believed their entire life, it feels like. But the most important thing as a believer is to take steps of obedience. And my goal is just so that you would do that today, is that I would share something from my heart so that we can take steps of obedience. And so we're going to talk about baptism, because in a couple of weeks, we are going to see people get baptized. We already have 7 people signed up to go all in with their faith. But some people may not know what that is. They've heard about it, but they don't know what it is. And my heart today is to really open that up so you can understand what baptism is. And I believe there's people in here that you're sitting next to right now who need to be baptized, and you're going to choose that today because you're going to be open to what God is speaking in his word. But Acts 8 is where we're going to be at today. Acts 8 is an awesome story. The church has started. It started in Acts. If you want to see the church alive and active like it is today still, go to Acts 1 and start reading. It's when the Holy Spirit fell, and it got into every believer, and they started preaching the gospel, and the church was this grown at that time. This is where it was planted in this moment. And the disciples and apostles were doing amazing things. And here's a story of a guy named Philip who was being led by the Holy Spirit, which is one of our values here, that we always do what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. And because of that, a eunuch was saved. Now, some people are like, Sean, what's a eunuch? Ask your parents. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, if you're 50 and going to ask your parents, like, that's weird, like, just Google it. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. On his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, which is still in the scripture. We have that right here. Isaiah is a prophet who spoke about the coming of Jesus before Jesus came, but he was saying that there would be a Messiah, and God came through Jesus, and we see that now we are 2,000 years past that. He died, rose again, he's still alive. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot where the eunuch was at and stay near it. He's like, go be a creeper. Verse 30, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said this, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This passage of scripture was what the eunuch was reading. He was led like sheep to the slaughter, this is Isaiah, and as the lamb before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? This is obviously a story of Jesus. This is about a prophet speaking of a time of Jesus. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then at that moment, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This should be us still today. We should not rely just on the pastor to go out into our community and tell people about Jesus. Yes, we invite people to church, but it shouldn't come down to that if you have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And so it was happening out on the streets. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? Verse 37 says this, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. And it says, then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water. Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared as Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached. Yes, Philip was transported. I know all of you, you didn't care about anything else that was said. You're like, did he transport? Like, you forgot about everything else. We're not going to talk about the transportation today. We're going to talk about the baptism today. The name of this message is called, What's Standing in Your Way? What's Standing in Your Way? Lord, we thank you. For this moment in time, I pray that you would give me your words to speak. I pray that it wouldn't be a performance, it wouldn't be about me, but it would be about obedience. It would be about everything you have for us, that you truly say that you have given us life and life to the full. And so, Lord, as a pastor, can I just lead them to that water? Can I just lead them, Father God, to that full life that you have for them? Lord, I don't want them to fall in love with me. I want them to fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. My grandparents are still alive. My grandma is probably 5'3", and the littlest thing you've ever seen in your life. And my grandpa, we call him Papa, is probably 6'1". He's a thin man, tall, and doesn't look anything like where I get from my grandma's side. I get it. I'm like the short little one. And when we were younger, they live on the river. And all the time, we would want to go down to the river, except there's poison ivy everywhere. There was sticks everywhere. It was dangerous, and we had to make our way down to the bank. My grandma is a barbarian, guys. If you take anything home today, if you see my, you're a barbarian. So she is so hardcore. Like, we would come to my grandparents' house to spend the weekend, and she would have from the top of the hill all the way through the campsite, all the way through the woods, all the way down, which was like a 20-foot embankment steep, would be completely mowed, weed-eated, and taken care of so the grandkids could go down, go fishing, swimming in the river, and do whatever they want. And we'd look at her like, who else helped you? Like, right? Like, what? I mean, I caught her one day. Who won the bet? It was 5 minutes before I got out of my chair. She would drag the mower down, like, just hanging onto it, and just get as close to the embankment and just pull it up. And she's like this little thing. I'm telling you, my uncle couldn't beat her in arm wrestling until he was out of high school. He tells me it's true. And the reason why I say that is because we always wanted to go down to the river and fish and have fun. There was rapids down there. We put the inner tubes out there, and it was a blast. It was a good time. The thing was, is there was a lot of things standing in our way. And I think in our culture, in our walk with Christ in the church, I think a lot of times we forget that God has put us on this earth to remove barriers in front of people's lives so they can experience the fullness of Jesus Christ. And I think that my grandma did so well. She's like, if my kids, grandkids want to enjoy the river and everything it entails, I got to get rid of some things that are standing in the way, the poison ivy, the barriers, and all these things. I've come to find out in our walk with Christ and obedience, especially with my two girls, that a lot of times people that aren't obedient, it's not because they want to be blatantly disobedient, it's because they have barriers standing in the way. And I don't think we take time as believers to address the things standing in their way. Instead, we just shame them for their disobedience. I'm thankful in this story that Philip was someone who said, I'm not just going to be someone who is a part of this eunuch story. I'm going to do whatever it takes to remove barriers in front of this eunuch's life so he can experience Christ and get baptized. Philip walked alongside of him. And I just want to say this today. As a church, our job is to remove barriers and to remove walls and to remove things out of people's way so they can be obedient to Christ. We can't force them to be obedient, but sometimes we can step in and help them understand. We can step in and begin to pray for them. We can step in and serve them in ways so they can experience Christ. That's why we have people out in the parking lot. That's why we got people opening the doors. Why? So that by the time you're listening to me, there was already a sermon preached before you sat there. They're preparing a way. John the Baptist was spoken by God, who was baptized Jesus. His calling was this: prepare the way of the Lord. He just got some things out of the way so people could experience Christ. Guys, my job today, my goal today is to, for every believer in here, is to give you tools so you can remove barriers in people's lives. But if you're here and you don't know Christ, my goal today is to remove a barrier in your life so you can be obedient to Christ. Some people in here need to be baptized and you don't know what that looks like. And my goal today is to take out some things that are in the path so you can be obedient to Christ, because I can tell you one thing, you will never regret being obedient to God. I've never heard anybody in their life get to the end of their life and say, I completely regret listening to Jesus. Never heard it go on record once. And so today my goal for us is to talk about that. So in this story, Philip removed some barriers. And so I want to talk about three things if we want to remove barriers in people's lives. The first thing is this: if we want others to be obedient, we have to be obedient. How many times do we blame everybody else for disobedience when God asks you to step out? I've realized that obedience is like a domino effect. And when you play dominoes with a kid, come on, like that was the great. How frustrating, right? Is that friend who always comes in and pushes the dominoes over before you're done? Like, I still don't talk to that guy. Like, the biggest thing I'm trying to overcome in forgiveness is the person who used to push my dominoes over before it was done. Like, everybody else I've forgiven. The kid who came in and ruined my domino set, I haven't forgiven him yet. Pray for me. I'm working on it. But dominoes, think about it this way. When you push a domino over, this domino will go into another domino, and it's a chain reaction. And I found out in our church and in our walk with Christ and in this story that if Philip wasn't obedient, would a eunuch even been baptized? And a lot of times we're looking for people to be obedient, yet we haven't given yet. We haven't served yet. We haven't been open to what the Holy Spirit's asking us to do. Philip said one thing: if I want to see other people experience Christ, then I need to act when the Holy Spirit asks me to do something. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to go over to that chariot and I want you to stay near. And Philip went. He went over to where he was. And I've realized that we need to be obedient. Why? Because our obedience is going to be a chain reaction to someone else's obedience. Actually, if you think about it, our obedience to today goes all the way back to, I don't know, I'm going to go further back, but Noah's Ark. Noah found favor with God. God said, I want you to build an ark. He was obedient. And because he was obedient, God saved the family. And through them, all the people came. And you know what I'm saying? And then through him, he flooded everything else. And because of that simple act of obedience, the obedient steps you make today have all gone back to that simple step of obedience. It's like the chain letter you get on Facebook, like shared, you love Jesus. Passed if you love Satan. Guys, I'm sorry to tell you, I love Satan like four times this week. So, but what I'm trying to say is, the chain reaction has gotten to us. The chain reaction has gotten to Authentic Church. And our job today is to say, are we going to be obedient? Because here's the truth, obedience is a chain reaction, but so is disobedience. And there are people who need to find Christ and get baptized, and there are people who need our obedience. Why? Because if they want to be obedient to Christ, we have to be obedient first. That's why we don't shy away during offering time. Why? Because as people give through obedience, not only does it bless you, but it opens up doors for us to see other people become obedient to Christ. Do you know why 19 people get saved at one Sunday? Because someone said, I'll give. Someone said, I'll serve. Someone said, I'll invite. Someone said, I'll pray. Someone said, I'll love. Why? I'll be obedient. I've realized that a lot of times we blame so many people for not being obedient, and yet I want to ask ourselves this question. Have we been obedient? I mean, even with this message, sometimes I'm like, you know what, God, I really don't want to sit down and do a teaching message. I just kind of like to yell. That's my kind of thing. And he said, Sean, but if you don't take time to teach how your church can be obedient, what are you really giving them? So my job today is to be obedient. Why? So you can be obedient. If we're obedient, guys, it's going to pour over in other people's life. It's a chain reaction. It's a chain reaction. You see, guys, it even says in Scripture that Jesus was obedient in Philippians to the point of death on the cross. Jesus, Philippians 2, look it up, was obedient till death on the cross. And because he was obedient, now we can step in obedience. Jesus went first. He always does. He always does. I saw this video online a while back, and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I have dry humor, so some of you may not laugh. That's fine. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to giggle, and I'm going to chuckle, and if no one else does, I'm going to get a kick out of it. But I saw this video of a demolition of a Superdome in Georgia, and it was so funny because you're watching this demolition about to happen, and I think it's so amazing to witness a power like dynamite, like this huge Georgia Dome that's been used for so long, and just a few seconds is completely demolished because of all the detonations that take place at one time. And as I was watching this happen, I saw this video take place, and the demolition begins to happen, and something hilarious happens at that moment. I want to show you. We have it on video. Check this out. Video bomb of the year. I mean, did you see the bus that said how to know if a stroke has happened? I bet the person running that video for the Weather Channel had that stroke. Like, he was like, look at that guy. I saw that. I was like, have you ever been video bombed? Like, there's this amazing power, this amazing thing that they want to show, and all of a sudden a bus. Not only just comes in front, when we saw it, this stops right there. And I thought that was hilarious, and I realized as I was preparing this message, I believe the Holy Spirit showed this to me, because we're talking about what's standing in your way. I honestly believe sometimes, not all the time, but most of the time, one of the biggest things that stands in the way of people finding Christ and being obedient to Christ are lazy Christians. The word lazy means that doesn't use any energy. No work, no energy. And I guess I came today, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was to tell you this. You can look at someone and tell them too, don't be a bus. Don't be. We have these people who are trying to witness the power of God, this amazing thing. And right when it's about to happen, we're like, and what happens is we become these video bonds for people experiencing the power of God, and instead what we do is we don't give, we don't serve, we don't love, we yell, we scream. I'm not saying that we don't fall flat on our face, but come on, there's got to be a time when you take up your mistake and say, I'm not going to keep doing this, I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to get better at it, because this day cannot take another moment of my life. I need to be obedient. Philip was in the bus. He said, this dude needs to experience Christ. I have time for this. And so many times we get our pride in the way, we get our preference in the way, we get our schedule in the way, we get our possessions in the way, and everything that happens, they're here to experience Christ. And sometimes I've realized that it's not even the disobedience that's standing in the way. A lot of times it's the disobedience not of the person that we're trying to reach, but the disobedience of the church that's supposed to be reaching. And we'll sit back and we'll throw stones. And God's saying, if you would just go stay by the chariot, if you would just give, if you would just be about church, we don't come here just to hang out, we come here to make a difference in our community. If you would just realize that we're going to do a series about depression, who can I bring? Or are you going to stand in the way? Because you know there's four people in your life right now that are dealing with depression, and yet you're going to let your popularity stand in the way of them bringing you to a church that you have encountered freedom in. Don't stand in the way of what people want to experience. Philip said, I'm not going to stand in the way. Instead, I'm going to be obedient. And today I want to encourage you that God said this in Matthew 28. Before Jesus left, before the Holy Spirit came in Acts, Jesus died, rose again. He met with his disciples before he ascended, and he said these words. These were Jesus' last words before he left. That means they were important. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. I've given you. I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. I heard someone say go is 2/3 of God's name. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. How do we follow the Holy Spirit? We do what Jesus asked us to do last. Go. And as you're going, the scripture means as you're going, love, serve, listen to the Holy Spirit. God says, stay next to the chariot. God says, take care of that person's food. God says, give them a word of encouragement. God says, take care of them, give them a gift. Do whatever you can, but stay close to the chariot. Don't be a bus. Don't be a bus. I've been a bus too many times in my life, and I'm still working on it. But if we want people to be obedient, we have to be obedient first. Number two, if we want people to understand obedience, we have to take time to understand them. I love this point. If we want people to understand obedience, we have to take time to understand them. I'm realizing this really fast with my girls because I ask them to do something and the grammar and the words that I understand, and I get the voice like, and then you can get upset like, didn't I ask you to do this? And my wife will remind me, Sean, they don't understand what you're talking about. And that's some of the most wisest things you can hear, because there's a lot of times we ask our kids to be obedient, and they just don't understand, so they don't know what to do. I'm like, hey, I want you to clean up your plate. And I remember the first time I asked that, they should know, okay, I'm going to go to the garbage and do this. But instead of throwing the stuff in the sink, she threw everything in the garbage. And I was like, what are you doing? I just don't understand. I don't understand. And then I think in our walk with Christ, we need to realize that sometimes when we talk with people and we're frustrated with people, maybe they just don't understand. We don't have time for people, and then we yell at them when they don't are obedient. They're looking for understanding. They're hungry. They want to know. I've realized that someone spoke to me like, Sean, the best thing you can do for your church is talk about what they want to hear about. Talk about the things they're asking questions about. Talk about the things that they're hungry for. Why? So they can understand, because maybe they're not being obedient because they don't understand. So I want to talk about this because in Scripture, now here's the thing. Before we get so upset with people who are disobedient, I'm not saying, well, I'm advocating sin. Sin will ruin you. It will hang you up dry. It will leave you hopeless and empty at the end. But I am so against it that I'm going to take more time to understand to get people away from it. Meaning that if it's a big deal, then we will take more time with people. If we truly think it's a big deal and ruins people's lives, then we'll stop beating them over the head and we'll take time to listen to them and help them as best as we can. The best people in business are the people who understand their clients and the people they're working for, and when they understand, they can act on it. And I've realized that's the best thing we can do as believers. Philip, in this case, in the scripture, it says this in verse 30. Then Philip ran up to the chariot after he was told to and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? So here, check this out. God says, Philip, I want you to run up where the eunuch is. He's out here worshiping, but it's a religion. He doesn't know about Jesus, and the only way to find righteousness with God is through Jesus Christ. He may be worshiping one thing, but he doesn't know Christ. And that's what scares me about church sometimes, is we can come to worship, but we don't understand the actual importance of Jesus and what he's done, and we make it a religion. And he said, I want you to walk next to him. I don't want you to make excuses. I don't want you to say what time it is. I know you're hungry. I know you're doing this. I just want you to stay near. And while he was near, he heard him reading the book of Isaiah. And see, this is what happens, is we come into people's situation, and they don't understand what's going on, and we make fun of them, or we put them down and say, do you know that you're better than that? Do you know what God's word says about that? And we begin to throw off these like lofty things at them, and they're like, no, I don't. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and he's a youth pastor, and their student ministry is blowing up. And I'm like, what are you doing? What's changing? How are you doing this? He goes, honestly, we've just created a place where no matter what kind of questions they have, we're going to create a community where we can answer whatever they need to be answered. So there's a kid who comes who doesn't know anything about the Bible. He came and said, my cousin's name is Solomon. Wasn't there a Solomon named in the Bible? And he says, yeah, let's talk about it. And that kid is coming back and coming back and coming back. He didn't say, hold on, before we talk about Solomon, what did you do wrong today? Hey, before you know Solomon, let me look at your life. No, he said, Let me help you understand. The best thing, I have this written down, the best thing we can do for people to be obedient in Christ is do what Philip did. Ask questions. Just ask a question. You'd be surprised how far asking a question will go. I've learned this with my wife. Before you just accuse, Jim, good luck with that one. Before you just assume and accuse, which I'm working on, ask questions. The same thing with my staff. The same thing with our teams. We ask questions. What's going on with this? Do you understand what I'm asking of you? Because when you ask questions, you'll be surprised the conversation you get back and forth. And what's hurting in our generation is we have social media where we don't spend any time asking questions. We just choose a side and we berate the other side. And he says, can you pick up at the table? Can you sit down in a chariot? And can you just say, hey, tell me about your struggles. Tell me about your life. I know you're black and I'm white. Tell me how you were raised. How do people treat you? I don't understand why you're obedient. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And we berate, but he says, can you just come up and say, do you understand what you are reading? He said, do you understand what you are reading? It says this, Philip asked, and this is what the eunuch says. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. From a question, some of us are inviting ourselves to our own party. You're inviting yourself, and they're like, you were never invited. And you wonder why people run away and turn back, because you were never invited. But if you would spend time and listen and say, do you understand what you're reading? How do I know? Come on in. Sit with me. And they went on a road trip. I don't know about you, but have you ever been on a road trip with someone? You can learn a lot about someone on a road trip. The music they listen to, the snacks they eat, the stories they tell, the same stories they tell, the same stories they tell. Back in high school, I could throw a pigskin a quarter mile. Like, right, Uncle Rico, we get it, right? Like, road trip. And I know this, again, the thing I want to say is in this story, he said, come, sit with me. He asked a question, and in this moment, what was Philip doing? He was removing barriers. The first barrier he removed was himself. I will listen to the Holy Spirit. The first barrier we need to do as a church is we need to remove ourselves. How can we get full of God if we're full of ourselves? He says the first thing we need to remove is ourselves. We need to be obedient when God's asked us. The second thing we need to remove is this. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe they're ignorant to it. Well, Sean, if they read their word, they would know what they need to do. Yes, but maybe they don't understand the importance of the word. But as they read and as they learn and as we say, hey, this book has changed my life. Yes, there's some things in here that sting. Yes, there's some things in here that I don't like to do sometimes. But every time I have done them, God has showed up in my situation and he has brought me through things that I couldn't do on myself. This is why I read the word. Can I help you understand what this book can do for you too? Ask questions. Ask questions. As a church, we need to ask questions because we have people in here who have been in church their entire life and we have people in here who just got saved last week. And what we expect is what happened with my friend Matt Widman here. We go to the gym together, and I'm not trying to pick on him. He's doing great. He's doing awesome. But he puked the first time that we worked out together, mainly because you ate Chinese food before you worked out. But I felt bad because he's good. He's killing it. He's doing great. But I didn't realize that how much stamina I built the last 3 years. And so I gave him one of the same workouts I was doing. A little bit less, but was doing the same workout. And he looked at me like, what are you doing to me? And I think what happens is we get people out of church because we expect them to be where we are. Hey, do this workout. Hey, do this. Hey, you need to spend this much time. I read 3 chapters before I go to bed. And you won't let them read 3 scriptures. Some people say, oh, they're reading the Message version. I'm like, at least they're reading something. We can't get to a point, church, where we have to get our little intellect into their situation. We have to come in. We have to understand where they are. And we have to be like, hey, you know what? I was there before. Let me come alongside of you like someone came alongside of me and help you understand this thing. And when you fall, guess what? Jesus helped me up when I fall. I'll help you up when you fall too. Let me walk with you. Let me just... Philip came in, he said, let's go on a road trip. I just want to tell some people today, you need to start going on some road trips with people. Amen. It's time for a road trip. If you're not going to go on a road trip, you're not going to travel with them, then don't even waste their time. If you're not going to travel with them, it says this in Scripture, it says that as they traveled along, which means Philip was doing life with him. He was walking with him. He was traveling with him. He was listening to him. Guys, I've realized in our church that we don't spend time doing this, but if we want to be a church that's united and making a difference, not only we have to get ourselves out of the way, man, we got to get our pride out of the way too. We got to sit with people, and we got to go on a road trip. Because it was during the road trip where the eunuch saw the water and said, can I get baptized? He said, if you believe. What if Philip wasn't there? It takes two to baptize. See, people need us more than we think we do. Guys, this is what the church is all about. Philip asked a question, and then he was invited to sit with him, and they went on a road trip. Who do you need to go on a road trip with? I'm not saying you need to do 20 people, because then you won't do it. Maybe there's two people in your life right now, like, Sean, I just got saved. That's okay. Someone is where you were 3 weeks ago. Who can you road trip with? Who can you ask questions? Who can you walk alongside? Who can you pray for? Who can you encourage? Who can you shake your own pride and say, hey, I've been there. Let's go on this journey together. Because I've realized so many times we tell men, it's time to man up. But they've never seen it in their life before. And if you would sit with them and realize what they've been through, then you can know how to help them. But we have to go on a road trip. You can learn a lot about a person when you're on a road trip. So before we go correcting and preaching and doing that, let's just do this first. Get in the car and listen. Just listen. You'll be more impactful for that. But as I'm doing that, this is why I brought this up. Because right now, I believe because you're here, you have now put me in your passenger seat. So what I'm going to do, as you have invited me in to speak into your life for coming here, I want to talk about baptism real fast. So I'm going to flip the script because maybe you're here and you've met Christ and you haven't been baptized yet. But here's the truth. You don't understand what baptism is. That's okay. You came to a church. We won't shame you for that. We're going to teach you about it. Because baptism is a huge deal. It's something that is biblical and it's given by God. It means to be immersed in water. Water's not magic. It's just an outward expression of what God's done on the inside. Death, burial, resurrection. Jesus went into the grave. He came back out. What do? We go into a watery grave. Old self, all that left in the water. We come out brand new. Carrie Underwood sang about it. Listen to it. Old, new. This is a picture of it, but I want to read two scriptures that talk about it. Acts 2, when the church started, starting in verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins, which means turn away, which means where you're heading. I want you to do a 180, and I want you to head the other way of your sins and turn to God. And listen, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Pretty blatant. Acts 16, here's a story of a guy who gets saved, and this is exactly what happens. Paul and Silas are in prison. They're in the middle of being flanked, and they're bleeding, and they're broken, and they're in like these things that you would see like in old medieval times, and they're in these locks, and as they're down there in the dungeon probably sitting, they begin to worship God in the middle of their pain, and because of it, all the prison doors open up, and everyone is set free, but they stay in prison. Because the purpose wasn't actually for Paul and Silas' freedom, it was for the jailer and his family's freedom. And so Paul didn't stand in the way, he stayed. A jailer says, what do I need to be saved? Look at what it says, Acts 16, verse 31. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him, they walked along with him, and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately, everyone say immediately, baptized. And let's just look at Jesus. He was baptized himself, and he's not going to ask us to do anything that he wouldn't do first. Jesus was baptized. When we make a decision to believe in Christ, that our sin is gone, he says your next step is baptism. Immediately. How do I be obedient? Some of you right now have realized what baptism is. It's not magic in the water. It's just faith in action. It's saying, I was saved inside, and I'm going to show everybody on the outside. And I'm going to do it immediately. I know that my fear gets in the way. I know my anxiety gets in the way. I know people may make fun of me. I know people may call me crazy. I don't care. I'm going to be obedient. And so I wanted to take some time right now while you're in this car to explain for people who don't know what baptism is, that's what baptism is. And it's time for you to be baptized. It's time for you to put your name on that paper, because in 2 weeks we're going to be baptizing people. Oh, it's just not a good time for me. When will it? When will it? Because we can make time for everything else. It's that important. And the last thing is this. Instead of standing in the way, lead them to the way. See, the first thing is we have to be obedient first if we want other people to be obedient. The second thing is if we want people to understand, we have to understand them first. And the last thing that Philip did that I love is instead of standing in the way, he led them to the way. You see, in Scripture, it said that they were traveling along as they're on the road trip. And as they were traveling along, the eunuch saw water. I love this. I love this because right now we're traveling, and in February 18th, we're going to be passing by some water. It's going to look like a jacuzzi, and it's going to be right here, but it's going to be water. And as they were traveling along, the eunuch said, "Hey, there's some water. What's standing in the way for me being baptized?" Now, at this moment, I'd be like, "Nothing, let's do this." But Philip didn't say that. Philip had to make sure one thing, because yes, we need to walk alongside the people. Yes, we need to encourage people. Yes, we need to understand them. But when it comes to Jesus, we have got to tell them the truth. I think we have sold the gospel too short. The gospel will cost you everything. Following Jesus will cost you everything. But he's not asking you to do something he hasn't done first, because in order for us to receive Christ, it cost him everything. It may cost us everything, but it is everything. And I can't tell you besides you just living in it. And so Philip said, he goes, "What do I need to do?" And he said these words. Can you put verse 37 up there? It's when he says these words. He says, "Believe." Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. It's our main scripture. It's okay, I'll talk about it. Philip says, "Believe and you may." He says, "I want to be baptized. There's some water. I want to do this right now." He said, "Before we do this," he goes, "there's one thing standing in your way. Have you believed in Jesus Christ?" And the eunuch says, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And he said, "Let's stop the chariot. Let's do this right now." So I want to do two things right now, because in this story, Philip didn't lead him to himself. He led him to Christ, and he was ready to get baptized. And there's people in here right now. The last 2 weeks, guys, God has been doing something in our church. He's been doing it forever. But last 2 weeks, we have seen 24 people in 2 weeks give their heart to Christ. 24 people. And it adds on to that. And what happened is in that moment, what they said is, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that my sin is now washed away, my past is gone." And now it says that the Holy Spirit can come in. He says, "Be baptized." And you've made that decision, and now it's time to get baptized. But there's some people here today that say, "Okay, Sean, I want to be baptized. I'm not happy with my life. I don't understand everything about it, but I want to walk with Christ. I see what you're saying, and I want to journey on. What is standing in my way?" Sometimes we're the ones standing in people's way. Sometimes we're not taking time to understand, and their ignorance is standing in the way. But the biggest thing that stands in our way is ourselves and our sin. And Jesus said, "Yes, sin is standing in your way, but Jesus Christ took that out of your way." And what does that mean? It means if you believe, then you can be forgiven. I don't have to work hard, do this, do that. No, no, no. Jesus did all the work. You just need to receive the free gift. It wouldn't be a gift if you had to pay for it. So receive it. How? Believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave after taking your sin on the cross. It's over. It's done. But I don't feel different when I believe that. You don't need to feel it. You just need to believe it. Have faith. Why? Because at that moment, your sin is gone. And in that moment, it said, the eunuch said, "Let's stop this thing. It's time to get baptized." It says this in James as the worship team comes up. James 2, verse 17, which is Jesus' stepbrother, his little half-brother. James 2, 17 says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." See, some of you have now made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ. You have put your faith in Christ, and can I tell you something? You're a new creation. No shame, no condemnation. I've messed up since I did that, Sean. That's okay. Grace can still save you. Grace has saved you. Just bring that sin before God. Say, God, I've messed up. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Because I put my trust in you. You have believed, you are a new creation. What do I do next? Be baptized. That's what you are called to do right now. This is what we are doing right now. You are now called to be obedient to being baptized. But maybe before we get there, you're here and you're saying, Sean, what's standing in my way? And you said it's your sin and your shame. Maybe you're still separated from God because you've never believed in Jesus Christ. You never said, God, here's my sin. Here's my past. You see, guys, sin grieves God. He hates it. And we should hate it too. It should make us grieve inside when we sin. And then we can give it to God. And he can clean it up. And he can make you brand new. And if you're here today, I say before you get baptized, if you haven't chosen to believe in Christ, we're going to close our eyes right now. And if you're here and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to pray as a church together. And we're going to say, I believe that you are the Son of God. And if you're here and you've never prayed that before, you've never believed, this is the moment that you're going to believe for the first time. And we get excited about that. That's why we're here. But I want everyone to pray with me. But if you're believing for the first time, I want you to mean this from the deepest parts of your heart. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. I am sorry for my sin, for my mistakes. Thank you for dying for them, for me. I am sorry, but I want new life. Forgive me. I choose you today. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died and you rose again. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone look at me. This is what we're going to do. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, honestly, don't look at the person next to you. Don't look at anything like that. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to ask you to do something very bold in front of our church, in front of your church, if this is the place that you come. I want you to lift up your hand and say, I made that prayer and that decision. I believe in the Son of God. We already have one hand up. Anyone else say, I made that prayer right now? If you threw that hand up. Anybody else say, I believe in the Son of God? I believe in the Son of God. This is what we're going to do before we close out. Praise God for that. That's why we do what we do. Guys, if only one person in 5 years, that's what we do, what we do. But God has blessed us with so many more. So now that you have been saved and you believe, the next step is baptism. If you have made a decision this past year or recently to believe in God, it is now time for you to put your faith into action and to say, it's time for me to be baptized in 2 weeks. Listen, Sean, I was baptized when I was a baby. It doesn't count. I know people don't like that. They shake when they hear that. It doesn't count. But what? Trust me, could you make any decision when you were 1 year old? Do you remember any decision you made? This is a decision for the person, you. Not your parents, not your cousins, not your family. This is our decision. So you can be baptized. Maybe you're standing in the way of that. Step out. What we're going to do before we dismiss, we're going to celebrate with those who need to be baptized. You know it's already stirring in your heart. This is why we do what we do. It says, be baptized and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is part of God's plan to be baptized. Don't miss out on this step. It is vital and it is important. If you've never been baptized before, but you believe in the Son of God, this is the moment where you are now to be baptized. So I'm going to count to three, and what you're going to do on the count of three is why does he always count to three? Because I give you time to think about it, but you better not be scared. I'll start counting to one. But when I count to three, you're going to stand up where you are, you're going to head out to the aisle, and you're going to go right to the hub. Our ushers will show you where it is. We have a sign-up sheet. We already have 7 people signed up to get baptized, but we know there's more people in here who believe in Jesus Christ, and now you need to be baptized. You haven't been baptized yet. It's time to be obedient. It's time to be obedient. I'm telling you. Obedience, you'll never go wrong. So at the count of three, if you need to be baptized, maybe it's a cup, maybe it's you and your wife, you and your husband, or maybe it's your family, you can stand up together, that's fine. Maybe it's by yourself, do it. Loud and proud, we're gonna celebrate with you. But at the count of three, you're gonna stand up, you're gonna go out the aisles, and we're gonna get you to the hub first before we dismiss, and then we're gonna celebrate and we're gonna sing, because obedience is what we're after. Obedience is better than sacrifice, it's scripture. And when we're obedient, things change in our church. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he died and rose again for you to be saved. Three, if you need to be baptized, stand on up, head on out right now. We're gonna celebrate him. Come on, church.